Praise God. God is good. No matter what life throws at us. You know, during this week, I don't remember if it was Thursday or Wednesday, but anyway, it was sometime this past week. You know, during my quiet time in the morning, I get up real early. I'm an early bird. And so I was up early. Everyone else was still sleeping. It was quiet. You know, most of the lights were out. I just had my little dim light and I had my gadgets and my Bible. And I was just doing my thing. And, you know, one of the things that God just dropped in my heart was this, is that, and I guess in a way he asked me, but we all know when God asks us a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. It's because he wants us to chew on it and think about it. It's because we need to know what the answer is. We are the ones who are in need of the answer to that question. And you know, he asked me a few questions, but they were all the same question at the end of the day. And you know, it was, I kind of felt like Peter at first when the Lord Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" And he did that three times. And you know, by the third time, Peter was kind of grieved and hurt. And so anyway, so what God was asking me is, you know, if the worst disease happened to you, would you still love me? And I thought, you know, my immediate answer is, yes, Lord. But I could tell he didn't want me to answer it right away, because he didn't want me to answer it intellectually or just out of obligation. He wanted me to search my heart. He wanted me to look deep within. And it's not that he's planning to put that on me. I know that, because he makes promises that he wouldn't. And I know that he won't do that. He's not like that. So I thought about it, looked in my heart, and I said, yes, Lord, I believe that I will. And there was silence. And then he said to me, if the worst tragedy came upon you, would you still love me? And again, I thought about it. I thought, well, you know, what worst tragedy could happen? What is the worst that could happen to me? And there are so many things. I mean, we look at the book of Job, and Job literally lost his family. He lost his children. He lost his wealth. He lost his livelihood. He lost everything. And you know, the Bible tells us that he ended up on a heap of ashes, full of boils in his body. And yet, the Bible says he would not deny God. And I think that was my, what I call my Job moment with God this past week. And so I looked at my heart and I said, yes, Lord, I believe that I will love you. And then there was quiet again. And then he said to me, if you lost everything. And when he said everything, I knew that he meant even my loved ones, my entire family, everyone that I know as family. And he said, if you lost everything, would you still love me? And I thought about it, and each time he asked me, he seemed to prod, if you will, he seemed to touch a deeper place in my being, in my heart. So it was harder for me to find the answer, because it's easy to say yes, you know, but when the rubber meets the road, when it actually happens to someone, when it happens to you, that's when the real test comes. And so I said, yes, Lord, I believe that I will. And then after a little bit of silence, the fourth question, he said to me, he said, you said each time you believe you will. Why couldn't you just say, yes, I will? And you know, with that question, he challenged me. And his challenge was, this is that, you know, we don't know how we will react. We don't know how it will actually be if it were to actually happen. And so By me saying, I believe, that was the best confidence that I could express, the best assurance I could give within myself and my capability. And I think by him asking me that fourth question or making that fourth statement, he wanted me to really make a decision for myself whether I would really, really love him no matter what I face in life. And not just believe that I will, not just give a, you know, a political answer or a correctness answer. And so I looked in my heart again. And you know, with everything that I could muster myself, I said, yes, Lord, I will. And then there was silence. And I could sense, it's a little hard to describe and explain in words, but I could almost sense the Lord smile, not laugh at me, but just smile out of being pleased. Because I think the right there and then, I answered from my heart with commitment, with assurance, and I could tell that he felt pleased. And then, you know, after a while, I kind of read a Bible verse or two, but it was still on my mind and I was still thinking about it. And I asked him a question. And I said, Lord, why did you ask me those questions? Why did you want to know how I would love you and if I love you and if I would love you no matter what? And you know, without saying words, he just deposited this impression inside of me. And I could tell, you know, that he created us with the freedom of choice. He doesn't force us to love him. You know, that's a choice that we make. And then I thought about the questions that he asked me. And then he reflected through my mind the different things, the different experiences, the different conversations, the different encounters I've had with people, you know, in my life and even up to recently. And he said to me, so many people love me when things are going well. So many people, you know, make every commitment they can think of to me when it's convenient, when things are okay, when they have the means, when everything's going well for them. But when trials and tribulations come, when hardships come, he said to me, that is where the true love is revealed. And I thought, you know, it's like marriage. I mean, marriages go through a lot of things. I have seen some people get to the point where they hate each other and they can't stand each other. I have seen a spouse hire a hitman to kill her husband because she felt so betrayed when she found out that he had had an affair. And you know, I've seen these different things and how love gets tested when horrible things, when undesired things happen to people. And you know, when it comes to God, we need to love God because of who he is. We need to love him just because we love him. If we have conditions, if we have reasons, if we have stipulations, if our love for God is determined by the wellness meter, in other words, by how well things are going in our life, by how well people are being, by how wonderfully we are being blessed. In other words, what I'm saying is, if our love for him is conditional, then we really need to rethink why we chose to love God, why we choose to make him our God. Isn't that so? And I think that's the journey that God was taking me through. I didn't mean to share this with you this morning. It wasn't even on my mind. But as we were finishing worship, he kind of just laid it on my heart to share it with you. And so, you know, it's really made me churn my heart. And I'm still in the process of it, even though I have been a believer for decades, even though I received salvation in Jesus at the age of 13 as a young teenager. That was my first year as a teenager. And I'm now 58. You know, even though I've gone through ups and downs and all different journeys with Him, one thing that has been constant in my life is God. He really has. And one thing that has been constant from Him is His love for me. He's loved me through everything. Yes, I have messed up. Yes, I haven't always been the best. And I'm sure I'm still going to mess up. But one thing I can count on is His love. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. And He will never do that for you. And so I guess the reason why I'm sharing this with you today is because I want to put out that challenge to you. You know, what is the reason why you love God? Would you love Him through the worst? Would you love Him through the best? Would your love fluctuate based on how things are going? Because if it does, then our love for Him is conditional. And His love for us is unconditional. You know, it's not that He wants us to love Him unconditionally, although He does. And maybe we cannot do it the way He does it because He's perfect. But one thing He definitely wants is for us to love Him no matter what. And you know, it's where the rubber meets the road. It's when we face situations, when we are struck by something, when we face a challenge in life, that's when we need to decide, do I love God because of who He is to me? Or do I love Him because of what He does for me? Or He doesn't do for me? And so, you know, I think this is going somewhere along the line, it's going to become a sermon series or something. And He's still working with me through all that. I can tell He's taking me through a season and a process of just rekindling that and just reminding me of my love for Him. Because it's so easy to get used to God. It's so easy to get used to church. It's so easy to get used to the Bible. It's so easy to get used to praying, to meditating, to declaring scripture, to speaking Christianese and watching Christian television, watching Christian movies, and you know, trying to keep your social media just aligned with the Word of God. It's so easy to just get so used to those things that we actually lose touch with why we actually love God. Amen. And you know, one of the things that at the end of my quiet time that morning, you know, the Lord just started kind of prompting me to look at everything that I do in my day, every day, and to see how much of it is because I love Him and how much of it is because I see it as obligation, as duty, as something that is expected of me and as something that I have to do. And so that's where my journey is at right now, is every day I'm evaluating and re-evaluating why I do the things I do every day, why I spend quiet time. Is it because I feel obligated to? Is it because it's a habit, I'm used to it? Or is it because I love Him and I want to spend time with Him? And you know, I pray in tongues in the car on the way to work. And it's like, am I doing it out of just habit? Just because that's when I've always done it, you know, part of when I've done it? Or am I doing it because I love Him? And so anyway, I thought I'll throw that out there to you and for you, because I believe it's a journey and it's something that God is doing, not just with me, but I think He's begun to do that with us as a church. But also, I sense in my spirit that God is taking His church worldwide through a similar journey because of what is to come. In the next few years, we are going to see our world change drastically. And I'm saying this to you now, as thus says the Lord. He showed me that. He told me that a number of times in the last few months. In the next few years, up to maybe even a decade, but in the next 5 years, we are going to see dramatic, drastic changes in our world that are going to change the way we live, change the way we see things, change the way we do things. It is going to completely alter just everything we've known as humanity. And a lot of it, if not most of it, has to do with AI and AI technology. And it's going to challenge us. It's going to make life so easy for us. It's going to just bring a whole dimension of living to us. But it's also going to challenge our love for God. And I believe that's why he is doing this. Because he wants to make sure that we as believers, we as preachers, as teachers, when the time comes, whether we are going to be able to get through that and help people through that and make sure that people don't fall astray. Because I don't know if you realize, and please forgive me, I didn't mean to get into all of this, and maybe this is all I'm going to do today, but I don't know if you realize, back in the Bible, when there was a drastic change in the world, it was when the Tower of Babel was built. We're all familiar with that. And so what were they doing? They figured in their mind as humanity, if we build something high enough to reach the heavens, we will reach God. And really what they were doing is they were trying to make God. They were trying to become God as a people. And they were getting to a place where really they were trying to be like God, just like Lucifer in the Garden of Eden. And I'm telling you right now, AI is wonderful. It's making life very easy. It's changing the way we think, the way we enjoy life, the way we operate. And I know there's downsides to it, but in general, it's really taking us to a whole different dimension as humanity. But I also want to point this out to you. AI is a God that we are creating. Just like in the Tower of Babel, they were creating something to become their God, to get higher than God, as high as God. And we are, as humans, creating a God, calling it AI, who's going to become so far superior than we are as far as knowledge, ability, wisdom, and so much more, because it's able to perform at higher levels than one single human being can. And so what humanity doesn't realize is that we are in the process of building our own Tower of Babel called AI. And God is never going to allow us to repeat that. Something will happen. Something will change. Something is going to be released from heaven that is going to put us in our place, rebalance things, and get us all to reevaluate where our trust and confidence is in. I know that I'm speaking prophetically, and I know that some of you may think this is just whack, it's way off, but I'm telling you that by the Spirit of God. He has shown that to me. We need to enjoy it. We need to make the best of it. Don't just shun it and become a conspiracy theorist and push it aside and, you know, think that coming against it is going to be the way that we, you know, fight for God. Not at all. What I'm saying is, Do what you can with you. Don't get so enamored with AI that your love for God begins to fade, that your love for God begins to become less. Because the more this tool, this God that we are creating, and I mean that with a small g, the more it becomes our facilitator, our provider, our supplier, our answer master, the less we're going to turn to God. And that's what happened at the Tower of Babel. That's what happened at the foot of the mountain when they told Aaron to build a calf, a golden calf. And throughout the ages, that's what we have seen. We have seen humanity, we have seen peoples, we have seen nations begin to build gods, small g's, because they felt they wanted something they could manage. They wanted something they could define. They wanted something they could control until they could no longer control it and it controlled them. And then there was trouble. Right? And I'm telling you, this is the time for us to remain grounded and rooted in God's love, but also, more importantly, this is the time for us to make sure that we are solidified in our love for God. So no matter what we face, no matter what comes our way, this is the time for us to love God because of who He is to us and because of who He is as God, and not just because of what He does or doesn't do for us. Our love needs to remain unconditional, unwavered, constant, and solid. Love God because He loves you. Love God because He loves you enough to redeem you. Love God because He loves you enough to keep you redeemed. Amen. Anyway, that was not in my plan. That wasn't what I was planning to share. That's not the message. That's not the word. I'm not even sure if we're going to make this available anywhere after the fact. But for you as our church family, for you as those who receive from this ministry, I wanted to just share that with you. And I hope that I communicated it plainly, but yet as deeply as God has been communicating it to me. Amen. And it's probably a word that is far, far before the time. But you'll remember it one day. Your children and their children will remember it one day. And I believe it will bring them back to the place where we need to be. Amen. Because when the Tower of Babel came down, all they had left was God. And when the God AI that we are creating comes down, crashing down, the only God that will remain is God. And where will we be with our God at that point in time? Amen. Anyway, I trust that somehow that you receive that with your spirit, with your heart, and you are going to chew on that. You're going to spend some time on it. You know, another God that we've created is social media and smartphone technology. But that's a different discussion altogether. And I don't have anything against it. I use it. I'm using it right here, right now, for my message, for my notes. So I'm not against it. I'm not going to try and be a conspiracy theorist against anything. I think it's just a warning. You know, let's use it, let's enjoy it, let's get the best out of it. But let it all point us to Jesus, the finished work of the cross, and the love for God. Amen. Because all of these things could stop working. They could go away in an instant. All we have is left. All we have left is God. And how will our heart be when it's just you and Him? Me and Him. Amen. But anyway, praise God. I trust that... You receive that. It was partly a thus says the Lord. And, you know, there's through the years, there's different things that I prophesied and I gave a word about. And I'm trying to think of one thing that I prophesied that didn't come to pass. You know, the year 2012, we had all these conspiracies. We had all these things in Christendom. And people were saying it's the end of the Mayan calendar, this and that. And many of you were still in our church. Many of you remember me, and it may be in some recording somewhere, but you remember I said to you, when December, I don't know if it was 30 or 31st, but when December, the last day of December comes in 2011, I said to you, don't be concerned. You'll wake up the next morning. Everything will be fine. I said the same thing in Y2K. I said a similar word about the elections. And so I like to think that, in fairness, it's God and the grace of God. But I believe there is something there for us to heed to and pay attention to. Amen. But anyway, praise God. All right, so I have 20 minutes to start the message. I'm going to share with you for 20 minutes and then we'll finish. It is a series that we're starting today. And so I trust that you are ready. It's almost like I feel like I need to leave you just to chew on what I've shared and not move away from it. And so maybe we need to just end it right there. I don't know. I mean, I haven't shared scripture with you, and I don't want to pull away from what I've just shared with you, because I really feel in my heart that it is truly, truly just really important. So I wish I could see your hands. I wish I could see your votes. But maybe, just maybe, I don't know. I just sense in my heart that we need to just leave it right there, because I believe it's something we all need to think about. I don't want to begin to share something that's going to pull us away from it, and then we're going to lose the momentum. Because I believe that God has begun an, what is it called, impetus. He's begun a role, and I think we need to spend some chewing on it today. So I think we'll do that. I trust that you can respect that, you can receive that. Amen. And so before we close, just stay in there, just keep those thoughts there, just because I, you know what I really sense is, I sense the Holy Spirit has just move. This was not in my plan at all. You've seen it. I haven't looked at my iPad. I've had no notes, no points. It just flowed out of my heart, because I believe the Holy Spirit was just speaking through me prophetically about this. And I believe it's a pivotal time, and we need to really take it to heart. So I don't want to just blow it off and move on to the next thing. I think what I sense right now is that as we close and as we finish, the Holy Spirit is going to continue speaking to you personally about you, your love for Him, and this whole thing that I've shared with you about what we're about to face in the next few years, and how it's going to position you, how God wants to you positioned, and what He's going to do through you. Because I believe there is a people, and I mean by that a group of people, and not just people together. I'm talking about a certain number of people around the world that God is doing exactly what I spoke about today, so that they can be the catalyst, so they can be the ones that are rooted and grounded and will help others through what we're about to face, so that they don't become victims of the fall of this God, small g, of this tower that is being built. I know somebody may be listening thinking, this just sounds so whack to me. Maybe this is why I don't turn and go to church and turn into whatever it is. You know, just take it for what it is. But I know those of you who need to hear it, you're not just hearing it, but you are listening. And I want to encourage you, if you've joined us today, this is very unconventional. We normally, I haven't done this in years, in actual fact. I don't actually think I've ever done it where I've shared a word by the Lord, thus says the Lord, and then just ended the service. This is the first time I'm doing that because I feel so strong about it in my heart. I sense it in my spirit so strong.